We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday. It's the 14th of September, 2018. I'm Jamie Veitch. I'm your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. And we are broadcasting live on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM and through our internet live stream. However you are listening, the programme is also available as a podcast later on from the Sheffield Live website. And talking about podcasts, we had some wonderful feedback from listeners for last week's programme featuring Madge Willard, piano teacher, talking all about the business of being a piano teacher, giving some tips if you want to learn music and some tips to other piano teachers too. And Madge is performing at the upcoming Diversity Fest in Sheffield as well, which is free, so you can go along to that. And if you missed the interview with Madge, listen to the podcast. Also on last week's programme, Steve Pipe. He's an accountant. He is, in fact, a legend amongst the bean counters because he has set up something called the Added Value Network, which helps other accountants. But Steve is on a mission to get up accountants and business owners to use their businesses as a force for good, to create micro-impacts across the world. And so far, millions of these micro-impacts have been created all over the world, changing the world for the better, whether that's access to education or clean water. And it's all happening. And you can be part of it as well. And Steve told you how in last week's programme. Again, if you missed that, panic not. Tune in to the podcast. Just go to sheffieldlive.org, find radio shows, look up Business Live, and the podcast of last week's programme is there. But that was then. This, as we say, is now. Who's on today? Well, I'm really pleased that we're going to be talking about gin. I do hope he's brought a lot of gin in with him. Daniel is in the studio with us today, Daniel Shipman, and he's going to be talking about gin, about a forthcoming gin festival, oh, and much, much more. I'm very excited about this. But before we turn to Daniel, what's been going on with you? What's been going on with your business or social enterprise? What have you been up to? Are you doing something innovative, interesting, exciting, or wonderful? And would you like to be on the show? Because we would love to hear from you. There are a few exciting and interesting events coming up. We're going to hear all about one of them, a gin festival, in a moment or two. But what else? Well, Diversity Fest, that's coming up at Hagler's Corner. We heard about that last week. The Business and IP Centre in Sheffield, they have a whole host of free events coming up. If you're setting up a business or a social enterprise, or if you want to grow your business or social enterprise, then these events are for you. Loads of good stuff with them, so check those out. There's a VAT breakthrough event coming up really, really shortly, next week on the 19th of September at Union Street. That's a free event. If your business is currently below the VAT threshold, but you want to break through it and you're a bit worried about what VAT entails, then go along to that. Again, free to attend. Well worth going to. Loads of good advice from highly experienced and qualified workshop leaders who really do know what they're talking about. And also coming up next week, the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network. They have a workshop on crowdfunding. So if you're considering crowdfunding as part of your business development, part of your business growth, to test a product, to get it out there or to market what you're doing, then you could go along to that crowdfunding workshop. Now, if you want details of all these events that are coming up, then check out my Twitter, Jamie Veitch on Twitter. You don't have to be a registered Twitter user yourself. Just go to Twitter and search Jamie Veitch. And at the end of the show today, I will tweet links to those events so you can find out details, find out more, and go along. But without further ado, it is time for us to talk about gin. And I don't know about you, but I have noticed that gin seems to be exploding in popularity every time I go out to a bar, to a restaurant, there seem to be more and more gins on offer. And it's the same in shops, in off licenses, in the supermarkets. Are you drinking more gin? It seems that the UK's population is. And I'm really, really pleased to welcome someone who's going to talk with us about gin. Hello and welcome to the studio, Daniel Shipman.
Good morning, Jamie. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thanks so much for coming in. So, Daniel, you're from Royster Events. Can you tell me a little bit about Royster? What do you do?
Yeah, so Royster Events, we're a new events company. We are local.
Yeah.
We're quite a small team. There's only three of us, but that said, we do have a lot of experience. Me and the other people who I work with, we've all worked together before, and we've got experience arranging different festivals and weddings, things like that.
Yep.
And we all come from a background in hospitality as well, which also helps.
Right, grand. So it's people who know how to look after other people because you love food and drink yourself.
Yes, of course. And we want to make sure that everybody's enjoying themselves as well, because that is a key part of it.
Okay, grand. And it's a small business. It is. But you're doing something pretty big.
We are. We're obviously organising the Kelham Island Gin Festival, the Gin Fever Festival, which is next weekend. And for us, this is a first doing something of this scale. However, it's something we feel confident we can do. I mean, it's only a week away. Everything's pretty much sorted. It's looking like it's going to be a fantastic time.
Now, this is really exciting. So, just for some context here, the festival Gin Fever taking place next weekend at Kelham Island Museum. Now, in effect, you've stepped into the breach after a festival that had been organised to take place at the same time. Yeah. The Gin Festival unfortunately collapsed. It was going to leave a lot of people in the lurch. Gin Fever is now happening as a result of Royster, as a result of you and Vic Baines and Chris at Royster going, yes, we're going to make this happen.
It is. I mean, from a business perspective, for us, it's a fantastic business opportunity.
Right.
But it's also so much more than that, because it's obviously a lot of people were let down originally. And it's a chance for those people to still come down and have the festival that they wanted. And another, on the other side of that, it also helps a lot of local businesses as well.
Yes.
Because obviously the museum itself is a charity.
Yeah.
And they would have then had a big gap in their calendar, so it's a chance for us to help them. And it also raises the profile of the museum itself. The museum is also a key part of Sheffield's heritage.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So. And a place that so many of us love, the museum, lots going on there. And the heritage. Now, this is interesting because gin itself has an interesting history. And I know you've brought in a little bit of history for us to learn about gin. So gin can trace its roots back a couple of hundred years more in here. Tell me about gin, Daniel.
Okay, so gin originally started off as a medicine.
Right.
It was made by Dr. Franciscus Silvus back in the 6th century as a way to clean the blood, I believe. And this is not something that is kind of just unique to gin. There were other spirits made as medicines as well. For example, Jägermeister. Anyway, then gin sort of spread to England. And in England, it really gained popularity when William of Orange banned imports of foreign liquor.
Right.
So gin suddenly took off.
I see.
And at this point, it got kind of a bad reputation because people were just really hammering the gin to a point where they were drinking about 2 pints of gin per week or something each.
That's quite a lot,
It is.
They must have had really clean blood then.
And that all kind of petered off when they introduced the Gin Acts in 1751 to try and control it, which means that some of the smaller, more illegal distilleries shut down. It then peaked again in the Victorian era, who obviously they had all the gin palaces, which back in that time were quite lavish areas, kind of had a bad reputation because obviously people were going there just to get drunk.
Okay.
But it was something quite special and quite unique to that era. And then that obviously petered out when other spirits, other drinks became more popular. And now is possibly what I would say is like the third peak of gin. It's starting to come back really popular. And I think part of that is due to the diversification of gin.
Right. Do you think that's led to this resurgence, this recent resurgence, as you say, the third peak in yeah. gin? So diversity, is that, I suppose, if you want to distill whiskey, it's going to take you a very long time to age it in 12-year-old casks to age it for 12 years in old casks or whatever. You can make gin a little bit more rapidly than you can make some other spirits, but also gin offers this amazing opportunity for flavouring with different botanicals and flavours and so on. And people seem to be embracing that.
They do. It's really, really interesting. I think before, especially I know when I was younger, a lot of people thought about gin as just kind of this standard spirit. Yeah. It had the reputation of Mother's Ruin, all that kind of stuff.
Indeed.
Whereas now, people are looking for new flavours, things like that. And I think that is attracting a lot more people to it.
Yes. Yeah, I see. So people are looking for new flavours, and a whole bunch of distillers and of entrepreneurial small business people have stepped up to give those flavours to them and give that diversity to them. And I see sort of gins flavoured with spices and with floral scents, with lots and lots of different botanicals. So these new gins, they're popular as well. I mean, I know you've brought some stats about distillers and popularity and spending too.
I have. So over the past 5 years, the number of distilleries has increased by around 127%. So that means we now have 315 distilleries in England.
Yes.
But one thing I find interesting is that 70% of serves are still with tonic. And that, again, is due to the diversification of tonic. Because if you look out there, you can get some really interesting new flavours to match with a gin, which also allows the drinker to kind of personalise their drink. And I think the drinkers really enjoy that sort of personal touch they can have.
Right. Yeah, I see. And so I've seen people have, say, a rhubarb gin with ginger or ginger-flavoured tonic as well. And, you know, it is broadening, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Because you can take then a gin and you mix it with one of the new tonics and you've discovered something new. Because each tonic is going to bring out different flavours in the gin.
Right, I see, yeah. So people are embracing this. So both businesses are embracing this, consumers are embracing this, demand is there, and people are spending more on gin than before.
They are. I mean, last year in the week up to Christmas, Brits spent about £36 million just on gin.
£36 million.
That's a lot of bottles.
Certainly is, indeed. Quite. So, with so many gins available, it makes sense for there to be a gin festival, Gin Fever, coming up next week, and saved in terms of as an event because Royster have stepped in to take over the festival after previous organisers sadly entered administration. Of course, always sad to hear of a situation like that. But as you said, this has been an opportunity to make the festival actually happen. And I know that you've mentioned it's taking place at Kelham Island, of course. Kelham Island, wonderful area. There is quite a lot happening. There's live music. There are quite a lot of gins to taste. Mm-hmm. So what's going on over the course of the festival?
So, as you said, we do have live music. We've got two stages. So there'll be an outdoor stage in the marquee in the car park. And then there will be one inside as well.
Right.
And the stage inside will also have a DJ later in the night as well, just to keep the festival going.
Right, okay.
We've also, I mean, in total, we've got just over 100 gins as well. So there's quite a range for people to choose from, and they range from the more local, such as Loxley Distillery, the Sir Robin of Loxley Gin, which is distilled here in Sheffield, to things more further afield, such as Zimmergorium, which is done in Manchester.
Right, yeah.
And there's also a range of flavours as well. We've got some of the more classic premiums, such as like Martin Miller's. But then we also have some more of the adventurous gins, like the Manchester Zimmergorium. They do a sweet violet gin, which tastes like Palma violets. And that's proving quite popular as well at the moment.
So that's exciting.
It is. We've also got a few food vans there as well. So we've got a couple of local ones like Nether Edge Pizza and the Gravy Train. We've also got dim sum soup and urban cheesecake. So we're covering all the ranges.
You are indeed, yeah. Now, importantly, this is an event that is free to actually attend.
It is. It is a free event. So people are just welcome to turn up on the day. We do have a system where you can register for tickets on Eventbrite. However, that is not necessarily required. It's just more for numbers, that's all. Yeah.
So it's nice for you to know how many people want to come along.
It is.
And perhaps it's worth encouraging people to register so that, it's free to register.
It is free to register.
What about timings?
Timing, so we open on the Friday and Saturday at 12 lunchtime, right through till 1 a.m. And within that, we also have some masterclasses going on as well.
Right, yeah.
And they're all for an hour. They're all, you need to register for those on Eventbrite, though.
Right.
But that gives you a chance to meet a representative of the brand. They'll talk to you about the brand and a bit of the history of that particular gin and the distilling process, things like that.
Now, this is exciting. I'd like to know more about the masterclasses as well. So so it's not very often that you get the chance to go to a gin masterclass. So you get to learn history, you get to meet distillers. You get to taste different gins, you get to learn about processes.
You will get to taste the gins when you go.
Yeah.
And it's a really good chance for people, for customers to ask questions of the brand itself.
Yeah.
Especially if you want to know things in more detail. If you've really got an interest, you can talk to them about the distilling process, how it's done, because each distillery also does things slightly differently as well, which adds to the uniqueness of the gins.
I see. Right. Brilliant. Good stuff. So there's a lot happening. And you said several thousand people have registered already.
Yes, we've got 4,500 people registered on Eventbrite at the moment.
Brilliant. So do you see then this will be an annual event? Get this one clearly well organised, well put together. Is it the ambition then to do this?
It is the ambition. We are hoping to do around 12 dates next year in all different locations. At the moment, they're not set in stone, so I can't confirm any of them. But we are hoping to carry this right on through as much as we possibly can, because it's fantastic.
Makes sense. Oh, we can look forward to that then as well. And so with your work with Royster, with Vic and with Chris at Royster, and as a relatively young hospitality business, what else is going on? What else can we look out for from Royster? And what else are the founders also involved with?
So the founders, they also have a restaurant up on Hoyland Common called The Keys, and it's a gastropub. It's really popular, does really good food. And what we also have is a mobile bar. We've converted an old horse box, so that's available as well to people to rent out. We can provide the stock, the staff, or if you want, you can just rent the horse box for the weekend itself, be it a wedding, a party, whatever. We're quite flexible with it. So
brilliant. Yeah, good stuff. So there's quite a lot for you to all get your teeth into, as it were. Sorry about the dreadful pun.
It's okay.
Really good at dreadful puns, but there we go. But so lots going on. But I suppose the biggest call to action is you can take a look at the Eventbrite page, book yourself a place on the masterclasses, get your ticket and so on. And you are on Facebook and Instagram as well, aren't you?
We are on Facebook, yes, as Royster. And the event is on as Gin Fever-Kelham Island. Our Instagram is Royster Presents.
Yeah, grand.
As well, just so you can give a quick look to that.
Excellent, superb. Well, what we're going to do is we will take a quick break now for a quick track of music, and then we'll come back and flag up more about gin. This is Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch. What are you up to? What's your business, your social enterprise doing? Do you want to be on the show? Do you want to comment on what's going on in business or in social enterprise, whether that's locally, whether that's regionally, whether that is nationally? You can get in touch. Send an email to jamie@sheffieldlive.org. Send a text to 07904 272 200. Find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. Whether you run or are running or starting a business or a social enterprise, whether you're an employer, a freelance, self-employed, we're always keen to welcome you onto the show or to hear from you. And one listener got in touch the other day to talk about our VAT segment, and he wanted to make the point that VAT, he says, is a regressive tax, and that we missed out covering that in our discussion about breaking through the VAT barrier. So we have invited said listener on to talk more, and if he wants to come on the show, he can do so. But please comment, please get in touch, please talk about what's going on in business or in social enterprise. We've heard all about Brexit this week with some dire forecasts from the Governor of the Bank of England, Mark Carney, about the potential impact of a no-deal Brexit. And, of course, the government has published the latest round of its Brexit impact papers. We've heard all about potential roaming charges, passports, and much, much, much more. Now, lots of business owners are talking about the uncertainty. The chief exec of Jaguar Land Rover was in the news this week talking about potential impact and job losses. What about you? What about your business, your social enterprise? How are you? How are you seeing how it might go for you? Are you frustrated? Are you ambivalent? Do you think it won't affect you at all? Put your case, put yourself forward, put your argument forward, get in touch to be on the program. We've been talking this morning about gin, and we have an absolutely fantastic festival coming up at Kelham Island next weekend, where you'll be able to go along and learn about gin, enjoy gin. And Daniel Shipman here is here with us in the studio to talk all about it. Welcome back, Daniel.
Thank you.
So the Gin Fever Festival coming up next week at Kelham Island. We'll give out the details again in terms of how to register. You can just turn up on the day, of course, as well. But tell us more about your path to this position in life where you have what loads of people might say is the job of their dreams, organising a gin festival and working in hospitality as well. So how did this happen?
I was about 16 and I started working in a kitchen as a pot washer.
Yeah.
And from there I moved out to be a waiter. And then I did that for a while. At the same time, I changed companies a couple of times to get different experiences. There is just no one hospitality experience. Mm. If you work in a five-star hotel and compare that with working in a pub, it's a very different environment. So I went round and did that, got some experience, started university. And then ended up working with Chris and Vic.
Yep.
And I work with them really well, and that's really led me to a point where I am now. It's been quite an incredible journey, to be honest. I've really enjoyed it. So,
brilliant. That's good news. And I know from talking with you outside the studio before we came on air, you've had the opportunity to travel and to study abroad. You've recently returned from studying in Spain and in Germany too.
I have. That was an incredible experience. So I studied for 6 months in Passau, yeah, in the south of Germany, which is just outside Munich on the border with Austria. It's a really beautiful town. And then when I was in Spain, I was working in HR in Malaga.
Right.
Which is also a really good experience.
Wonderful. Good stuff. So did you get to sample the food and drink specialities of those particular regions of Spain and of Germany?
I did, more so in Spain.
Right.
So I tried some of the local tapas, things like that. They have it's a bit like gazpacho, it's a cold soup, but it's called salmorejo, mm-hmm. and that comes from Cordoba, which is a couple of hours away from Malaga.
Yes.
And that's nice. It's kind of like gazpacho, but it's made with tomatoes, bread, and olive oil.
Oh,
and it's all blitzed. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, super. So that was a firm favourite.
It was.
Yeah. Indeed. Good. And in Germany, were there any regional specialities in that part of the country? It's quite far south. It's is it quite near the Austrian border? And
it is. I mean, to be honest, most of what I ate in Germany were pretzels and bratwurst, things like that.
Yeah.
But on the other side, I got to sample some of the local drink.
Right.
Because in Passau, there's a brewery which brews its own beer.
Yes.
And so when they had their beer festival, it was a really good celebration of their local drink, things like that. And the local culture, because everybody was going in lederhosen and things like that. It was really nice. It was a really traditional festival that we went to.
That must have been very interesting.
It was. It was brilliant.
Yeah. Grand. Super. And you mentioned just a few minutes ago then that your journey to career in hospitality, well, your career in hospitality began with pot washing.
It did.
And that's sort of the absolute engine room of the whole experience. If pot washing isn't happening, then the whole kitchen collapses and then the hot service collapses, doesn't it?
It's true.
Yeah. And you get to know all the chefs and sous chefs and so on. And did you enjoy it? Because it's sometimes a job that doesn't necessarily command the respect that it should have compared with the role of a chef or a waiter even. But it, as I say, without it happening properly, everything collapses, and the pot washer, you know, needs to not only wash the pots as they come through, but is instrumental in the actual hygiene of most kitchens as well. And those five-star hygiene ratings couldn't happen without, you know, you.
It is true. I mean, it might not command the amount of respect as being head chef or something like that. But the one thing that is noted throughout hospitality is you have to work as a team.
Yes.
And even if your position is lower than another position, you're still respected the same by your colleagues, because you have to be, you depend on each other. You need each other to work together in order to make the business, restaurant, whatever it be, the best that it can be.
Mm.
And I think that is part of hospitality that I also really enjoy, because you get to know your co-workers really well, especially because it can be quite a high stress situation. So you bond through it. And at the end of the shift, you're like, oh yeah, we survived. Brilliant.
Yes. Yeah. Superb. So you enjoyed that and that aspect of it. And you said that hospitality is very rich, very varied, very diverse. And so working in a five-star restaurant or hotels, totally different to working in different, I'll have different positives and negatives, I guess, and so on. What advice, though, would you give to people who want to build a career in hospitality?
The first thing to do is just get your foot through the door.
Yeah.
Once you've got your foot in the door and another opportunity opens up, you can go for it if you want. Don't overthink it either. Don't think, oh, maybe I shouldn't go for this position. Like, don't doubt yourself, because you can always try it, and if it's not for you, it's not for you. But you need to be able to push yourself and go for it in hospitality, because it can be quite competitive.
Yes, I see, I get it. Yeah. And so you need to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Grand. And you're studying as well.
I'm studying at Sheffield Hallam University. I'm doing international business with German and Spanish.
Hence the recent year.
Yeah.
Grand. So Sheffield is changing rapidly as a place for food and drink. The scene, the food and drink scene here is seemingly adding new and exciting offers on a day-by-day or week-by-week basis. Are there any particular favourites apart from a certain place up that Vic and Chris run that there's obviously must be a favourite, but are there any favourite places in the city that you particularly enjoy? It's hard to pick just one sometimes. So
it is. I mean, having studied in Spain, I really enjoy Spanish food.
Yeah.
So places like Cubanas, things like that, I really enjoy. And then there was also House Street Cafe. It used to do a Andalusian breakfast, which was also incredible.
Right.
Some of the more... I tend to prefer kind of smaller places sometimes as well.
Yes. Yeah. So we're going to turn back to gin. It's the festival coming up. So first of all, there is a website. There are details, Eventbrite pages, Facebook, Instagram, and so on. Do you want to give out some links?
Yes, of course. I'll give you the website, which is royster.co.uk.
Yep.
That's royster.co.uk. We also are on Facebook and Instagram, which is at Royster Present. If you type that in, both of them should pop up.
Yeah.
And if you want any more information as well, you can also email us. So email daniel@royster.co.uk.
Yeah.
And I can provide you with any information you require.
Brilliant. And you can simply get on down to Gin Fever event, our 21st and 22nd of September, Kelham Island Museum. Full details about that on Facebook page as well. So really easy to find. So look up, and if you type into the Facebook search bar, Gin Fever - Kelham Island Museum, the event will turn up with all the details on it. 100 different types of gin or more. What else? Workshops, events, music, street food, loads going on. And it's open from 12 p.m., 12 noon until late both days.
Yeah.
Super. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you, Daniel. Thank you so much for coming in today, and best of luck with Gin Fever. And I'm sure that there'll be many folk who perhaps were worried they'd been let down by a festival that they thought they were going to collapsing, finding that you've stepped in and you're putting something on, and it's sounding like it will be fantastic. So thank you so much for coming in today.
It's okay. Thank you for having me.
And you're listening to Business Live, our weekly business and social enterprise programme, with me, Jamie Veitch. Daniel Shipman has been on the programme today, and we've been talking about gin. We're going to take another quick break for a quick track of music, so enjoy this. Back on air shortly. This is Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme, with me, Jamie Veitch. Daniel Shipman has been on the show today talking about gin. If you've missed Daniel and you've only just tuned in, panic not. The podcast will be on the Sheffield Live website from about 11 a.m. today. Now, are you a quiet hero of Sheffield? If you are, well, it's time to make some noise, because nominations are open for the 2018 VAS Make a Difference Awards. These are the Sheffield Voluntary and Community Sector Awards event for 2018, with a Make a Difference Awards ceremony taking place on the evening of the 22nd of November at the Octagon, to honour the individuals and the organisations working in the city to make a difference to the lives of people and communities in Sheffield. And the awards are open to all, and any individual, voluntary, community, faith group, charitable organisation or social enterprise working in Sheffield may be nominated. So if you know of a social enterprise doing fantastic things here in the city, then nominate them right now, because the closing date for nominations is 5 o'clock on Friday, the 28th of September, 2018. So you have 2 weeks to get your nomination in. And it's really easy to make a nomination, but you should commit enough time to do it. Don't leave it to the last minute. And there are a number of categories of awards that you could be nominated for. Employment and skills, health and well-being, inclusion and equality, resilient communities, Sheffield volunteering, voice and influence, champion of the sector. So several different categories there. Now, if you want to find out more, if you want to nominate somebody or an organisation, a charity or a social enterprise, then go to vas.org.uk/make-a-difference-awards, and you can find all the details there. I'll tweet the link to the awards nomination and information page, so look me up on Twitter, Jamie Veach, and you'll be able to find the details from there as well. But get working on your nomination now, because the deadline is 2 weeks today, the 28th of September. What else is going on? What else should you be looking at? Well, the VAT Breakthrough event Sheffield is coming up on the 19th at Union Street. There are a number of other masterclasses as well taking place in the city. And this is a free support for businesses growing past the VAT threshold. And you can find full details of all of the events on offer, the masterclasses that are on offer across the city on a range of locations and dates, with some in October and beyond, but with first event next week on the 19th. But go to vatbreakthroughsheffield.org.uk to find details and book your free place. Take a look there. I mentioned earlier on the show today the Business and IP Centre in Sheffield, and they have a whole range of workshops and talks for businesses this autumn, which can be booked through their Eventbrite page. But some of the workshops that they have coming up include social media, that's start of October, Tuesday the 2nd, Essential Business Research, Introduction to Quality and ISO 9001, Everything You Need to Know to Protect Your Business Idea, Research Your Market Using Market Research Databases, An Introduction to Copyright, How to Use Business Databases for Business Research, What's in a Name and Why Trademarks Matter, and How Employment Law Can Impact Your New Business. So those are taking place through October and November, those workshops. There are a couple of talks as well. One is Be More Pirate, and one is a live screening of the British Library event, Work Like a Woman, A Manifesto for Change. That's an evening with Mary Portas, with networking and a live screening. Now, details of all of those are on the Business and IP Centre's Eventbrite page. So you can take a look and find out more. So if you go to eventbrite.co.uk and look up Business and IP Centre Sheffield, then you'll be able to find them. Now, they also have something else coming up, which is called Startup Day, and that's on the 20th of September at the Central Library. And again, this looks really interesting. If you've got a business idea and you're wondering how to turn it into reality, then the BIPC Startup Day, Business and IP Centre Startup Day, might be ideal for you. So on the day, on the 20th of September next week, there's a programme of free workshops. You can meet experts, you can hear talks. It's all about giving you a head start. And you can go along to the entire day, or you can go to individual workshops on the day. Starts at 9:30. There's a top tips on starting a business, from business idea, test trading, registering with HMRC. Then meet the experts with business advisors and startup stars there to give you help and advice. Then there's a talk from Sue Kerr about her mission to inspire you to get the results that you want in your business. Then Roger Tipple, innovator in residence, is sharing his experience of getting your idea to market. Then after that, Emma Taylor from Girl About Chef, a social media expert, will be talking about showcasing your business using MailChimp to reach new customers. Finally, visual thinking skills to get things done with Laura Evans of Nifty Fox Creative. She's got an alternative picture on planning. So you can go to one or all of the events on the day, on Thursday, the 20th of September, Business and IP Centre Sheffield. What you need to do is go to sheffieldbipc.eventbrite.co.uk or simply go to Eventbrite and look up Business and IP Centre Sheffield. You'll be able to find details of everything they're up to and how you can go along, get along and enjoy them. What else is coming up? Well, Diversity Fest is coming up at Haggler's Corner. That's free. Loads going on there. And last Friday on the programme, Madge Willard, piano teacher, talked about Diversity Fest as well, and she'll be performing there. So go along and hear Madge perform. So that's coming up too. Loads going on, in fact. But what about you? Are you running any events that people should go along to? Then drop me a line and I'll give them a mention if I can on the show, so that other people can find out about them here on Sheffield Live. And all you need to do is email jamie@sheffieldlive.org, text 07904 272 200. Find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. So we're nearly done for today's programme, but we will be back on air next Friday. And we have two really exciting guests joining us next Friday. Emma Jones set up Enterprise Nation, and she is also a Crown Commercial Services representative on small business. So she gets to tell the government what she thinks they should do to support small businesses, micro entrepreneurs, and she'll be joining me for a live interview over the phone next Friday. Also on the program next week, Peter Byram will be talking about his business helping people with hearing loss, and what he's doing about helping people get access to hearing aids and support. So tune in next Friday for some really, really interesting guests. But don't go away now, because, of course, next up on Sheffield Live, we have our fantastic folk music programme coming up. Thank goodness it's folk, and they're on air from 10 all the way through to noon. So enjoy the programme. I will, and I hope you do too. So that's it for today. My thanks to you for listening. My thanks to our guest, Daniel Shipman from Royster, talking about the upcoming gin fever and giving us some fascinating facts and figures all about gin. It was really interesting to hear from Daniel. My thanks to Sangeeta in the studio as our sound engineer today as well. We'll be back on air next Friday, and we're going to have a little bit of music to finish with. So enjoy this, and we'll be back on air next Friday. See you then.